Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to WIC Wednesdays, a.k.a. WIC Live, a.k.a. Take the Black, the one and only show on the internet where we being two men named Dan, who run a website called winteriscoming.net, talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, sometimes games, dragons, horses, swords, robots, flightless birds, sandworms, and so forth. Hey, everybody. Hey, Julie, I'm glad this is going to be at a more respectable time for you today. Melissa Barnes says today is a hard day. I wonder why. I wonder what happened last night and today that could make this a hard day for people. Are we going to mention it? I haven't decided yet. We have a whole catalog program for you of things, cool things to talk about. And I don't know if it's going to involve the hard day. Maybe. You know what? Stay here and watch, and you will find out in real time. Will it go off the rails? Stick around. See what's
up. Entirely
Daniel,
possible.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. Oh, wait, I'm feeling.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm good. I'm feeling confident. So confident that I'm interrupting you because it's almost like we can talk in real time now because I have internet that allows for such things. Wait, that's a lie. Did I say I'm feeling good? It's a weird ass day. So I'm with everyone in the chat. Today's show, our goal is to be a nice distraction from the very obvious elephants in the room. How are you doing, Dan? How are you holding up?
We got them. People, longtime watchers, listeners, this is great news. You might have heard this last time. I wasn't here last time. Daniel has his internet replaced, fixed. He dug a ditch, got in the ditch, laid That's cables true. Or paid someone to do it. And you may remember that sometimes in the history of this show, Daniel's internet will go out or it'll be slow because Daniel lives up in the top of the tallest tree of the tallest mountain in New York State. But he has cable internet. So it's going to be true. Just back and forth. No interruptions from here on out. Pristine,
That's
crystal
right.
clarity.
Never really cool. a single glitch from here on out. Thank you. It is very cool. And yes, it's been a long endeavor. And you missed it last week, Dan, because it went out and I had to run to a whole different house to finish out the show. It was just a mess. But Cody held it down like the champion he is. And now those days are behind us. So what are we talking about today? Julie says no politics, please. That is not on the agenda. Can't guarantee it won't come up, but that's not what we're planning to talk about because we have other things to talk about, right, Dan?
We do. Nice segue. Way to keep me away from the sauce. Daniel, last week it came out in the Hollywood Reporter that HBO is quietly, not officially, developing a Game of Thrones movie. I want to say first up, I've seen some people online say oh, they're doing another one. Oh, they keep announcing these things. I do want to say this is not officially announced. I do want to draw a distinction between people like Disney announcing 30 Star Wars movies and then not making any of them, and Warner Bros. Discovery, which has had several high-profile leaks of things they probably never intended us to know. They never meant for us to know they're making a Jon Snow show behind the scenes. That just got out. And then Kit Harington talked, yes, you caught me, fine, we were making it, didn't work. Like, this Game of Thrones movie thing, this is not something that they announced. This is a Hollywood reporter learned of it. And I do think that's important for a couple of reasons. First, because I want to give the benefit of the doubt that they're not becoming a giant IP creation machine, which we'll talk about later. And second, I guess it was just the one thing. I think it's just a little smarter because this can go badly when a company like Disney announces we're going to make a Star Wars movie with Taika Waititi and one with the Wonder Woman director person, Kathleen Jenkins, whatever her name is. Sorry, I forget your names. And so on and so forth. And then just not do them. This is Patty a little Jenkins. More respect. Patty Jenkins. Sorry, I called her Kathleen. I think I combined
Kathleen Kennedy
and Patty Jenkins.
Yes.
So this is different. Anyway, they're working on one quietly. Also, it's important to note that because it may not actually happen, which is true of the other things that get announced.
Yes.
But just because it's been sniffed out that they're working on something, you're free to work on whatever you want behind the scenes. The beauty of not announcing something is that you can just tinker with it. And then if you want, it's not working, just don't go forward with it.
Yes. Yeah, I think that is a very good and important distinction to make. And I'll even take this a step further. So with Disney, with the Star Wars things, why it is so ridiculous is because they are announcing these things over and over and then pulling the plug. Pretty much every single one of these Game of Thrones, we found out they're making a spinoff, or the Jon Snow show. We found out they're developing that. Pretty much all of those, I have noticed, come back around to basically one reporter, James Hibbard, who wrote this book, Fire Cannot Kill a Dragon. He obviously has connections with in HBO who tell him they're thinking about developing these things. And he used to write for Entertainment Weekly. Now he's at The Hollywood Reporter. If you pay attention to who's writing these Game of Thrones spinoff reveal articles, it is almost always him. Clearly got an inside line there. And just knowing that they're developing things is very different than a large proclamation, like you said, Dan. I am curious what this could be about. And that is something we're going to discuss today.
Now that we've disclaimered it to death, let's go on to the fun part, which is if they do make a Game of Thrones movie, Daniel, what is it? What's it going to be about? What do you want it to be about? And what should it be about? We got some votes for Snow in the chat. Nicole, watch a Snow movie. Chris, it will happen. Holding it. Chris also says Snow. Would you like to see Snow, a movie about Jon Snow after the finale of Game of Thrones, where he goes off into the far north with a sword and a good attitude and a dire wolf and does stuff?
Honestly, not particularly. Like, I love me some Kit Harington as much as the next person, but there's something about doing a sequel to a really, you know, to a magnum opus story like A Song of Ice and Fire. Like, a Snow show would essentially be a sequel to the story George R. R. Martin was trying to tell with A Song of Ice and Fire, aka Game of Thrones. And that is just something that on premise I don't love. It could be really good. Kit Harington's great. I have a strong feeling that is not what this movie is, because I think Kit Harington basically said that they were kind of pulling development on the Jon Snow show for now, if I remember right, because they couldn't quite figure out how to make it work. I would not be... That wouldn't be my first choice. I'll put it that way. Well, how about you, Dan? Would you want a Snow movie?
If they're going to do a sequel thing, if it's going to be a Jon Snow sequel, or the other big obvious one is an Arya Stark sequel, because she kind of went off at the end of the show into parts unknown, seems like a good pickup point. I think I'd prefer a movie to a show.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's a little easier to work with. It's not as hard to come up with like a premise for a TV show that can sustain years and years and years. It's tough to come by, especially if you're going to wrangle kind of these former actors to do it. If you want to do it, I think a movie is the way to go. You can come up with a good, tight premise, compelling in 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and then go for it. I'm not saying I want it, but I do think it would fit better for a movie than a TV show. I have no idea why the Jon Snow show fell apart behind the scenes, obviously. But I have a feeling it'd be simpler.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax
A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I would go for the middle ground, I think. Like, my ideal choice, if they were going to make spinoff sequels, would be limited series. I feel like it'd be really cool to get, like, a Jon Snow limited series, give Kit Harington 10 episodes and tell me a story about Jon Snow becoming an old man north of the Wall and what that means for him as the last surviving Targaryen. Or a limited series that's 10 episodes of Arya going city to city, and it spans like a decade of her life or so, like each episode's a year, like something crazy like that. I think would be really interesting. My first thought when I heard about the Game of Thrones movie, though, and I think there could be something to this, my first thought was maybe the Doom of Valyria, because I don't know budget wise how that works on television. So I'm assuming everyone in the chat knows what the Doom of Valyria is, but just generally, that was the Roman Empire of this world with all the dragon lords that existed before Westeros was really stabilized. And essentially it suffered a huge cataclysm that wiped out all the dragons, wiped out all the dragon riders, except for the Targaryens, because one of the Targaryens had a prophetic dream and they all left before it happened. How do you feel about the idea of a Doom movie, Dan?
Yeah, I like it. Somebody said, I think it was Ben Jack, that a movie lends itself to spectacle. And I kind of agree with you and him that maybe a Snow series will be better. Doom of Valyria, where it's this huge civilization exploding because of a volcanic island eruption of all at once. Yeah, I can see that being something you would have to think carefully about the budget for, and you wouldn't be able to. I mean, I'm not sure what a show would look like. You'd have to lead up to it. And it's this one big event, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm not sure a show, you'd have to have a huge cast of characters and then just in the climax, they all die because a volcano erupted. I think it makes more sense to a movie narratively. And yeah, you could know where the big spend is and lead up to it over the course of 2 hours, not like 20 episodes. That makes sense to me. If you're going to do a history thing, someone's just a Robert's Rebellion up top. I think a trio of movies could be fun. That's another miniseries one, too. Or they don't make one. But if I had to choose, I think I'd say Doom Valyria. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
I am with that.
So there's an interesting tidbit from, I think it was the Aegon the Conqueror leak back when that happened. I think that was last year or the year before, which was also James Hibbard hearing that they were developing an Aegon the Conqueror show. I saw Westerosi's point this out on Twitter, but basically that in that original article about Aegon the Conqueror, one thing that James Hibbard said was that he was hearing that it would be possible that there would be a feature film component to the Aegon the Conqueror spinoff, which makes me wonder if they might try to do something like a Doom of Valyria movie that sets up how the Targaryens first came to Westeros and follow it up with, like, I'm putting this in air quotes, like House of the Dragon season 5, AKA we're going to tell the story of Aegon the Conqueror now. Even though, like, there are reasons that may not be necessary directly, because Aegon, you know, he was born in Westeros. It was his ancestors came over from Valyria. But that, I feel like if they're going to do anything, it's hard with something like Robert's Rebellion, where it's like that fits just such a specific place in the Game of Thrones timeline, like between all these other series, that it feels kind of dependent on them. Like, how satisfying would it really be to watch a movie that just sets up Game of Thrones, you know, like sets up a show we've already seen with younger actors playing Ned and Robert and stuff like that. Versus something like a Doom of Valyria, where it's setting up a whole nother series with new characters. So yeah, I could see that. I would be excited for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Victor says there will only be new Game of Thrones content with Targaryen dragons. I mean, I think A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms sort of disproves that, because that's coming around the bend and that's got none of it. Although there are Targaryens, aren't there? But no dragons, though. Ain't a single one. Except they have a vision or something.
Yes.
The idea that also makes sense. The kind of conspiracy theory that they would do a Doom Valyrian movie leading into an Aegon's Conquest show. It makes sense because of how HBO has been approaching a bunch of their other things of late, how Warner Bros. Discovery has. I've been thinking lately about this, not just about Game of Thrones, but House of the Dragon, Dragon of the Kingdoms, about HBO and their parent company more broadly. And I have some questions about it that I'd like to pose to you, and also to you out there watching us.
This is a nice segue.
I agree, thank you. About what's happening, is it good or bad, and what are the long-term prospects? Basically, I'm sure I can't be the only one that noticed. I've been watching TV for quite a long time. I've been watching HBO for a long time, and their brand was always originality. We've talked about this. It wasn't just The Sopranos and The Wire and Second City. It was Game of Thrones. It was very original, bracing, new, something not done before. The biggest shows they've had recently on HBO have all been IP-based, intellectual property, which is the favorite watchword of Hollywood. House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones prequel show. Ditto, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Right now, we're watching The Penguin, which has been a lot of fun, frankly, which is a spinoff of a movie that goes into another movie, which really resonates because you just said they were thinking of doing maybe a Aegon show with a movie component, which sounds kind of like what's happening with The Penguin right now, with The Batman to The Penguin, Back to The Penguin Part 2.
Yeah.
The Last of Us, a big hit. They just released some images from an upcoming show coming next year. What's it called? Like, It, Welcome to Derry. Yes. Remember the movie about the murderous clown who eats babies?
I do indeed.
Now it's going to be a TV show set in the past. There they are, those little 50s kids running from that clown. Look out!
Don't go in the sewers.
Don't go in the sewers. And it's just a different sort of network than it used to be. It's definitely much more focused on these big projects that have roots in recognizable brands and not kind of doing the next original thing. And I will say, oh, and then Dune Prophecy comes out a couple of weeks based on Dune, obviously. Another movie to TV, back to movie sort of thing. And I guess my concern is we've seen this fail, this kind of strategy. We've seen Disney go from, you know, making movies, Marvel movies, and then making WandaVision, which sets up another Marvel movie called Doctor Strange 2, where Wanda, you have to know what she did there to understand it. And then making so many Marvel series that keeping up is basically getting a second job, but you don't get paid. And I worry that this could, in the long run, have a similar combustible effect. Even though I'll admit, right now, I think they're kind of killing it. Like, The Penguin has been a highlight of the TV this year. It's been a really strong show. I'm looking forward to next Sunday's finale very, very much. I've already seen it. I know it's really good, so enjoy. I shouldn't say too much about this because HBO won't like it, but don't tell anybody. I've seen Dune Prophecy. I got to see it early, and it's pretty good. So that is also another one that's like, that's okay. They're actually doing a good job of this. But in order to maintain interest when everything is connected, everything's got to be good all the time, and that's not going to happen 100% of the time. So that's kind of my long-term worry about going this full into big IP like this.
I think that is a really, really reasonable concern, honestly. And I, you know, I like a lot of these big IPs that we were talking about, like Dune, Batman, Game of Thrones. This whole conversation about lacing, you know, interweaving between movies and television does make me feel like original Game of Thrones was maybe a little ahead of its time with this, because, You know, they wanted to do a trilogy of movies to end that, and HBO nixed it because their whole thing was, we are a television brand. And this is very much a pivot in the other direction, which I think is pretty clearly the sort of, you know, steering of the ship that we can expect from David Zaslav, who is the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery. He said this pretty plainly, I think it was last year, that he wanted to focus more on their big established IPs like DC, like Harry Potter, like Game of Thrones. Yeah, and I don't know if you mentioned it, but there's that new Hogwarts Legacy video game, which will reportedly link in with the new Harry Potter show that's coming on Max in ways. So they are going hard on the, you know, building out multi-platform IPs. Mm-hmm. And I think the danger for that is and has always been doing it for the sake of doing it. I think the things where we've seen it go well are ones where there's a really strong creative force behind it that makes there be a reason for the thing to exist. Sure. The Penguin's a pretty good example of that, where I was really skeptical about that show. Like, I enjoyed the Batman, but there was no world where I was like, yeah, of course we need an 8-hour series about the C-tier villain of that movie. Like, he was entertaining, but he wasn't the main villain of the Batman. And that I've been so happy to be proved wrong, because the Penguin has been excellent. And it's obvious when you listen to people like Matt Reeves and Lauren LeFranc, who's the showrunner of the Penguin, listening to them talk about it, it's like, oh, it's obvious you guys are really excited about this Batman saga you're building, and having this extra way to explore characters' backstories in a way you couldn't necessarily do it on the big screen. It feels justified. So I think as long as the creative, you know, need leans forward, as long as that's the thing driving it, I think it can be successful. It does make me worried for, you know, Harry Potter is kind of the classic example to me of, dear God, what are we doing here that we're rebooting this? And I know you were not surprised by that, because it's Harry Potter. There's money to be had, and Harry Potter is great for that. But I do worry. So Leo says, I'm calling it. For me, he liked the Penguin more than Shogun, which may vary. I think Shogun's a better show, but it's hard to say which I enjoyed more, because the Penguin is a little bit lighter and a little more fun, and Shogun was very, very heavy. True. But I do worry that if HBO keeps going this route, we'll get less like groundbreaking, like original ideas. Like it's hard to imagine this HBO greenlighting Raised by Wolves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine anybody greenlighting Raised by Wolves.
Which is a shame.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the issue. Somebody said, who was it? Victor, the only way for a show like industry to find an audience is to last 2 or 3 seasons on like no budget or very little budget. A mid-tier show has to be based on an IP. Which, yeah, makes intuitive sense, but then would they make Game of Thrones anything? Would they make a show like Game of Thrones now that requires some resources to put into it, but that costs something, but that isn't that well known? I guess even Game of Thrones was based on a pretty popular book series at the time, so there are ways to go about this. You can dip in and weave out. And also, someone was right that there will be like a White Lotus. We'll still have that kind of thing. But yes, the ratio of like big IP-driven shows to original shows is definitely getting a lot more lopsided. And you're, of course, right. As long as there's a creative force behind it, and as long as it's true and earnest, it's going to be good. And stuff like The Penguin has proven that the HBO quality machine still works. They're still like polishing this stuff. Because it's great, and the finale is really strong. By the way, you guys are gonna freak out.
I can't wait.
I don't know if I think eventually it might be inevitable that the more business interests are gonna overwhelm the creative quality control. I feel like it's kind of inertia.
Yeah. I think that's really fair. And as Victor points out, Foundation and Rings of Power have shown that there's kind of a ceiling almost for big IP risk. Yeah. I think it's interesting that you talked about, like, would this HBO make a show like Game of Thrones, which was a huge risk. And you're right, like, the book series was established, but, like, it wasn't a huge mega hit series at that point. Like, it was popular in certain fantasy reader circles. I think it had hit the New York Times bestseller list by that point, but it was nowhere near, like, the cultural zeitgeist that it eventually became. When they greenlit Game of Thrones season one, it reportedly the budget was $6 million per episode. So that's like a $50 to $60 million dollar budget. That's a lot, especially in 2009, 11. But I do think that part of the issue is that a lot of these studios feel that if they're going to greenlight a genre show, they need to be sinking like $150 million into a first season. And I don't think that's especially conducive to like getting a show off the ground. So I hope that we can find, you know, ways to still greenlight those creative ideas that are risks, but maybe do it in a smarter way instead of like the spaghetti at the wall money approach to it. Because like, you know, Blackwater, this is like Game of Thrones, like lore that's very famous. Like, Benioff and Weiss basically lied to HBO about the scope of Game of Thrones. They were like, yeah, sure, we can do this fantasy show and we don't need the battles. We can find a way to do it without those. And they were candid about this in some like behind the scenes stuff after the show was a success, that they basically, their plan was to lie to HBO about it until the show was doing well enough that they could say, actually, we really do need to do a battle. So like, can you give us more money? Like Blackwater, they got an extension, like they got an extension on the budget for Game of Thrones mid-production to do Blackwater the way they wanted to. So there's like a scrappiness to the making of that. And like Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings is another great example of this. Those were, you know, fairly expensive movies, but he shot all three back to back. So all three of those movies cost about the same amount as Rings of Power season one. So I hope that studios find ways to still take risks, maybe just smarter than they have been. Because I think they've just been like, fantasy, people will lap it up, throw the money. And that isn't working.
That's kind of why I like the idea of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, because it does seem like a smaller, but smaller show, not like a giant huge, but still going to be obviously a fantasy show. That kind of alternate world show, which will just be interesting and fun, but also has that scrappiness to it. That's why I'm looking forward to that one a lot.
Yeah.
It does seem things have gotten a little too big. Some good questions in there. Folk talking about Alan asking if Game of Thrones needs a spinoff to finish season 8. I don't think so. I don't think we needed a spinoff at all. I mean, I'm not surprised that we got one. I just don't want it to go out of control. And Victor says that AI will create an alternate season 8 eventually. But nothing officially. Yeah, I mean, honestly, probably within the next few years, someone will put something together. It's getting more advanced every time now. You know, there are people, you know, there are AI podcasts now that they just do what we do back and forth like this.
I did know that, and I'm sure they suck. I have no faith in that. Like I'm sure you're right. It will happen. Someone will make their AI version of Game of Thrones season 8. But I... will it be any good? Will we want to watch 10 hours of AI? Maybe you do. I don't. You know, it's hard because right now we're still at this state where, like, I don't know if you saw this, Dan. Someone tried to recreate the Princess Mononoke trailer with AI as if it were live action.
Yes.
And they basically recreated some of the shots, but most of them were like missing the things that made it like notable, like the main character, I forget her name. She never has her like really iconic mask on. Like there's no motion. Most of the shots of people are just like an AI person, like staring like steamily at the screen type thing. So I think we're a long ways from like a true dramatic presentation with that type of medium.
We are.
But also in terms of like needing a spinoff to redeem season 8, I just don't jive with that at all. I think Dexter did that, and I haven't seen the Dexter spinoff that was supposed to redeem the end of Dexter. I thought that was a fairly understandable example because anytime I hear people complain about Game of Thrones season 8, if they weren't like Dexter viewers, I'm like, look, you don't understand how much worse it could have been. I think there is something to be said for the end of an ending of a series that gets people talking about whether it was good or not, and there can be disagreement about it. That's different than a universally reviled ending like Dexter, where everyone hated it and it felt like the production gave up. Didn't feel like Game of Thrones gave up. They made mistakes and they made choices that not everyone liked. So personally, I disagree with that take. I don't think we need spinoffs to redeem the end of Game of Thrones. I think art is meant to challenge people and you need to sit with your feelings. All off right. My soapbox.
How very high and mighty of you. Very fancy. Getting back to the bigger point.
Yes.
About my concern about HBO going in, or rather Warner Bros. Discovery going in on big IP. So far, I do think it's gone well. Like, liked The Last of Us. I've liked The Penguin. I like House of the Dragon. I'm looking forward to Sense of Doom. And again, don't tell HBO, but I like Dune Prophecy. So far, it's working. I'm a worrywart, and I worry that that kind of thing isn't sustainable in the long term, and that eventually, I don't know, the execs in the higher up stage will demand that compromises be made in the name of doing it because you want to do it, not because it needs to be done. But I will say, just credit where it's due, it hasn't happened yet. I think they've been kind of killing it. And also, they do still make original stuff. The original stuff, it kind of rises or sinks. Like, we've had some hits like Industry. The Righteous Gemstones coming back. Are there any other like good new original HBO shows? Because I can think of some flops. I can think of like The Idol, which nobody liked. I can think of The Regime, which like came and went without any kind of comment. So as long as they keep making it, I'm fine with it. Industry is kind of like the one lone original HBO hit that's kind of got some penetration on right now.
Yeah, I feel like Industry is kind of taking up the niche that Succession used to fill, which Succession is one that came to mind, but that was running over, during like the previous regime of HBO, and it kind of ended in this current one. I think you're right to be concerned about the risk of making slop for the sake of serving the big IPs. I think we've had that cautious tale with Marvel, right? We've kind of all watched in real time as Marvel's brand has depreciated from basically like the top tier movie series, like franchise in Hollywood history, to a much more tepid place that it is now. And I think if HBO and Warner Discovery is smart, they will learn from that and keep focused on the creative ideas first. Because even like your example with The Last of Us, yes, that is based on a big popular IP, The Last of Us video games. But the whole reason it got made was because Craig Mazin just really, really wanted, he loved those games and really wanted to make it a show. He had been asking for years if he could do The Last of Us. And then the stars happened to align in such a way that he was able to with Neil Druckmann. So hopefully HBO is able to keep that front and center. I think time will tell. But I do think you're right that so far it's going better than I had hoped it would.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think so. Good for you. Keep it up. Maintain that balance. Walk that tightrope. We know you can do it. Daniel, moving on. Is there anything that you or anybody out there who's watching us, what are you watching lately, Daniel? What are you reading, if you're reading anything? Playing anything? It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, coping with our stressful times in a variety of ways. I watched some of this anime called Delicious in Dungeon yesterday. Have you heard of that show?
I literally just heard of it because someone pitched an article about it. So this is actually great timing. So fun.
Great.
What is this? And is it new? Is it a new show?
I don't think it's brand new, but I think they added new episodes recently because last time I looked, I thought there were less, and there's like 24 episodes now. So Delicious in Dungeon is basically like a Dungeons and Dragons type anime. This party's going through this dungeon, except they need to eat. They get real hungry as they do. So they befriend. As they go through the dungeon, they befriend this dwarf who is like a dungeon chef, basically. And he's really good at making delicious food out of monsters. So the whole thing is them going deeper and deeper into the dungeon, finding new ridiculous monsters to eat in ridiculous ways. And it just has so much heart. And it's such a fun, warm, fuzzy show. I would kind of put it in like the cozy fantasy genre. Something like a Legends and Lattes is like that's a cozy fantasy book. It's kind of like that, but on television and animated form. And it's just such a good time. I laugh so much watching that show. Delicious in Dungeon is great. And cool.
Thank you for filling me in, because I actually do need to know about that. According to Bellows 3000, it's based on a manga. Good to know.
Yes. Yeah, so I've been watching that. That has been fun and a nice break from things. Playing wise, the new Stardew Valley patch just dropped.
Keeping
it cozy with a Meadowlands farm, which is a lot of fun. The big thing that I've been getting into this week is I'm reading The Fury of the Gods by John Gwynn, which is the third and final book in his Norse-inspired fantasy series, The Bloodsworn. This series has been awesome. If you like things like God of War, like the God of War reboots, if you like Vikings, I have never read a fantasy series that did like Norse inspired myth and culture fantasy as well as John Gwynn is doing with these books. They're so good. Enjoying that a lot. I think that's most of what I've been watching. I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting, but I've been watching lots of stuff. What about you, Dan? What have you been getting into this past week?
I thought you were going to say I've never read a Norse inspired fantasy series, and I'm like, that cannot be true. Many.
I've never read one that felt Norse inspired. Like, this dude is obviously a Norse historian. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you read it and it's like, oh, you obviously know the things about shield walls and the specific cultural practices and the ways people armed themselves in realistic ways instead of, you know, an armchair fantasy person who's just imagining what that would be like. He's obviously put in the legwork is what I'm trying to say.
He has long blonde hair, or wishes he had long blonde hair.
He is bald with a beard.
Wishes he had long blonde hair.
Fair.
Our viewers are watching things that only have one word. Julie's watching Here, which is a sci-fi series over on Epics, I think. From sci-fi series over on Epics, about a haunted town that eats people. I haven't seen them. That might be mislabeling it. And then a couple of folk have watched Here, that new Tom Hanks movie where they de-age him a lot. And I'm just reading the plot now. It begins millions of years ago with dinosaurs. I don't have time to read the rest of it.
Oh, that looks so cool. I saw a trailer for that.
What is it?
So it's not about Tom Hanks specifically. It's about the place. So I saw a trailer for this, and dude, I almost teared up during the trailer. Damn. Which like never happens. But so my understanding from the trailer was that it was basically their house. So all of the shots in the trailer are from like one specific camera angle. So it shows it like from the time of the dinosaurs to like the 50s when people moved in. And then when he's then an old man and his wife like has dementia and he's bringing her back to the house. So it is about basically how this one place, how different people and things like that have come through all in this one location, which I just seems like a really interesting idea to me. So sorry, I had to nerd out because I saw that trailer and I was like, I've never heard of this and it sounds awesome.
It's all told from one camera angle, says Victor. Cool. It does kind of sound interesting. It's made like no money. Again, like original movies, I've kind of heard of that, but it hasn't really broken through.
Yeah,
it's not just Warner Bros. Discovery. Like every movies, TV, like if it's all big IP these days, which is good and bad. I miss original stuff, but again, as long as it's good, Like, what's the next big movie? Can I just kind of get people like really excited? I guess Wicked or like Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
Or Wicked. They're on the same day, Daniel.
They are. Which will emerge triumphant? Probably Wicked, because you never underestimate theater kids. Yeah, well, that's interesting, that balance. So there was an interview recently with Steve Aspel, who's like the longtime head of 20th Century Fox. And he talked about this and how they've had to go through this since the Disney acquisition, with specifically the four tent poles they were talking about were Alien, Predator, Planet of the Apes, and Avatar. Finding the right rhythm for those four tent poles so that they know how to alternate them, and then basically doing half franchises and half original IPs. So that's something 20th Century, which is an old seasoned studio, they've talked a lot about how they are trying to find that balance. I think you're right. I think that's something all of these studios will need to do if they're going to succeed.
Yeah. And if I might bounce them all for it. Nicole's been watching Agatha, enjoyed it. I did too. Frankly, I think it's probably the most I've enjoyed a Marvel show in a while.
Fully agree.
I mean, I'm not going to say it was like utterly brilliant, but the twists surprised me. The performances were fun. There were jokes and like snappy dialogue that kept things tight. The kind of unexpected pivots worked for me mostly. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good self-contained fun show. And of course it ended in a Marvel way, which is like tune in next week, wink, wink, wink. But mostly I enjoyed that one more than I expected to, which has been a theme these past couple of days. Yeah. I'm really enjoying these superhero spinoff shows more than I expect to. Yeah. Also watching What We Do in the Shadows. Love that show.
Oh,
can't
nice.
Go wrong. Sit down, half hour. Laugh at vampires being out of time, out of place. Great. The Penguin I'm watching, you guys can flip over the finale. It's a good one. And again, one last time, next week we'll have an early review of Dune Prophecy when the embargo drops, and I will give you my specific thoughts, but I hope that HBO doesn't get too mad at me for saying it's good.
Yeah. Next week's going to be an interesting one because Silo is coming out, I think, next Friday?
Oh, right.
So Silo's right around the corner. So I am going to be watching that this week, getting a head start on it. So we'll have some sci-fi stuff to talk about next week. I enjoyed Agatha too. I really liked the two-part finale. I totally get why they did it as a two-part finale, because that was kind of a question I had going in, was why did they do it this way? And seeing that basically one episode was kind of the end of the Witch's Road, and then the next episode was kind of the almost the epilogue and explaining Agatha's backstory, which the Nicholas Scratch stuff, whew, that hit me pretty hard. I thought they handled all of that really, really well. So yeah, Agatha, I thought, was the best Marvel show probably since Loki. Really good. There's one other in the chat. Where did it go? Valerius 3000 says, did you all like the trap? I'm guessing that is Trap, the movie with Josh Hartnett. Have you seen that movie, Dan?
No, some of our colleagues have, and they seem whelmed.
Oh, man. Yeah. So it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie about this serial killer trapped at a pop star concert. And I went into it being like, all right, it's M. Night Shyamalan. You never know. It's a mixed bag. It'll be fun. About halfway through, there was one scene with Josh Hartnett and the pop star singer, who wasn't really a main character until she was. And it was just real awkward and weird. And then I realized that she's M. Night Shyamalan's daughter and her music features throughout the movie. So I enjoyed my time with Trap, but it very much watches like a here's your sweet 16 movie type thing. Like she goes from not really being too important to just like the main character of the thing. Singing on screen, her songs are in the credits because she also is a musician. So it's like, all right, I see what you did here. I'm gonna chuckle about it a little bit, but I still had fun watching it.
Daniel, she's so talented. Not everybody realizes my daughter is really, really talented. She has ambitions and she's good at what she does.
Well, that's why they had to make the movie. That's right. Josh Hartnett was fun. He was kind of demented and funny and clearly had a ball. Kind of similar to his role in Black Mirror, except funner, because the episode of Black Mirror he was in was very not fun.
I didn't recall it. Hey, Cannibal, how you doing? Other than that, I'm almost finished. I'm so close to finishing The Shadow Rising. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel, this is weird because you can respond so quickly. I feel like we're ending this show quicker than usual. There's just been nonstop conversation going back and forth.
Yeah, we've literally shaved minutes off of our show runtime just from cutting out the delays from my old internet. It's been fun. I've been enjoying it. But
yeah, it's no problem. Should we talk about anything else before we get to lightning round? I feel like we should fill some time.
Oh, what else?
Julie, I'm glad you're enjoying the Book of Carol that just wrapped up. People seem to have enjoyed that one.
Nice. Yeah, I heard that was really good. Well, a few other things to shout out. Arcane is back this Saturday. I will absolutely be watching that. I'm very excited for Arcane's second and final season. I feel like that is an unsung a franchise which has branched out into other media really, really well that doesn't always get the credit quietly. It deserves. Really quietly. Yeah, because League of Legends, really popular video game. People either love it or hate it. It's got a really famously toxic community, but games are very popular. But they've done so music albums where they've assembled all-star metal bands, basically picking and choosing different metal musicians to do these albums. Called Pentakill is the fake band's name, which is a band in the game, and they're excellent. They've done books now. They have a new book coming out in February by C.L. Clark, who wrote The Unbroken. That's a tie-in with the Arcane show about Ambessa, who's the Noxian leader. And then they have Arcane, which is the first Emmy-winning animated series from Netflix. So, yeah, I feel like that is an interesting franchise that I don't think of as expanding into other medias often. But then when I stop to think about it, I'm like, man, they did this really well, actually.
Yeah, it can be done well. And as Victor says, there's so much stuff. You know, sometimes you hear about a content drought or just survive to 25. When's the COVID lack of thing going to hit? Doesn't seem like it ever really is, does it?
No.
There is a ton. Cannibal, yeah. I'm glad you're fine.
Yeah, there is so much. I've got a giant stack of books to get through in the next month. Wind and Truth by Brandon Sanderson comes out next month. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to do. I also need a shout out. I read the new Scott Lynch short story, Locke Lamora and the Bottled Serpent, which any Gentleman Bastards fans listening, The Lies of Locke Lamora, Scott Lynch has the first part of a two-part short story out in Grimdark magazine right now. And he's one of those authors who's often grouped with Martin and Rothfuss, where he wrote a really popular fantasy series and people have been waiting a decade for the next one. So it's just wonderful to get any sign of life for that series. And it's been nice to return to that world.
Cool. And as Julie asked, any updates on when The Wheel of Time will air? None, but we all expect next year. Shouldn't be any issue. I'm also surprised they haven't announced it's a couple months away. I'm surprised they haven't announced a Rings of Power season 3 at this point. It's starting to get pretty weird. But I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise us by canceling everything. All right, Daniel, should we go into the WIC News lightning round?
Sure. Why not? It'll be faster than ever.
And it'll be so lightning fast. And what does that lightning round entail for those people just joining us for the first
time? Yes. First time listeners, viewers, like and subscribe and come back next week. So what happens now is our famous, world famous, universe famous even, WIC News lightning round, where basically we go back and forth with 20 seconds on the clock to discuss news stories that we didn't have time to get to in the main body of the show. If we go over our 20 second count, we are buzzed into infamy and shame by producer Richard. It will sound like that. All right. So Dan and all of you out there, are we ready for some lightning quick news?
Yes. Ask me first.
Ask you first. Uh-huh. Oh, check it out. It's a Dune couple's costume from Halloween.
Yeah, first some fun Halloween recap. That's just cool. This was just going around. Couple's costume. Person is a sand rider. Other person is a sandworm. Put some harnesses on them. Go back. Simulate some wind. just have a good time. Great. Awesome. Love it. I didn't dress up, but if I thought to, I would have done that. Good for you. Love it. Be more. Daniel, keeping with this, sorry you get this one. Here's another good couple's costume. House of the Dragon themed. It's Alicent Hightower and someone dressed as her bottle of moon tea she uses to abort Kristen Cole's baby.
Jesus. Well, you know, they went there. They swung for it. So I guess credit where it's due. I hope you guys had a real fun Halloween. Also, really got a shout out to Alicent costume because
she looks good.
She looks so good in this picture. Like spot on cosplay. But yeah, Moon Tea, good job, I guess. All right. Here's our next story. Speaking of massive IPs and how they can go wrong, Eddie Redmayne thinks that the Fantastic Beasts Harry Potter spinoff movies are done. They're not making any more.
Yeah, not a shock. Those things wrapped up a few years back. They were going to make more, but they didn't make enough money, so they didn't. So they ended at 3, not 5. And now that they're pivoting to like all Harry Potter all the time, they're not, the Fantastic Beasts movies aren't going to be a part of that. We'll see a lot more Harry Potter, but we think that that thing, especially over, Eddie Redmayne said so, and he wouldn't lie to me.
No. Eddie Redmayne is an agent of truth. He would never lie.
All right. You know what this is, so I made sure that you answered this one. Daniel, the TV show Scavenger's Reign, which I believe is on Netflix, is not coming back for a second season, despite a lot of folk wanting it to.
Yeah, so it's actually even worse than that. So Scavenger's Reign was an animated Max show in the vein of Raised by Wolves, imaginative sci-fi. Max canceled it, and then Netflix picked it up and had the first season run on Netflix, and there were hopes that it would renew it for a second season. The showrunner confirmed Netflix is not pursuing it. It's not getting another season, but there is a teaser reel you can go watch online of what season 2 might have looked like.
That's too bad.
It is too bad. That's original too bad. Shows. Everyone I know who's watched Scavenger's Reign loves it. I really need to watch that show. All right. This is an interesting one. So you mentioned Agatha All Along being real good. Apparently it's good enough that maybe Marvel's thinking about making more, it seems, because Agatha All Along is being submitted as a comedy series at awards shows, hinting that they may be developing a second season. What's the deal?
Yeah. Usually if you just want to be your own thing, so as a limited series, but it's a comedy series, so it implies they could make more, make it a proper show. I feel like they're flying by the seat of their pants. I think they didn't intend to make Agatha from WandaVision, that they just got the idea after WandaVision was popular. And I think they're doing that now too. It's hard to know how much they plan ahead, isn't it? But we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
Okay, totally. Daniel, this is an interesting one. So did you know that according to Ewan McGregor recently in an interview, in The Phantom Menace, the original idea was for Ewan McGregor to play Qui-Gon Jinn and for Liam Neeson to play Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then at the end of the movie, when Liam Neeson dies, Ewan McGregor takes Obi-Wan's name, and that's how he gets the name. And they decided, let's not go with that. But that was the idea. That was in the script.
Yes, yes. So I did not know that. My wife actually told me this story earlier this week, which is how I heard about this. And yeah, that would have been interesting. So like basically the idea is Qui-Gon Jinn taking up the mantle of Obi-Wan Kenobi along with his mission to train Anakin and stuff like that. I'm glad they didn't go with that because Qui-Gon's an amazing character and that just sounds kind of confusing. So seems like reason one out. But that is fascinating trivia. This is cool. This is real cool. This is earth-shakingly cool. So Godzilla Minus One director Takashi Yamazaki is making a new Godzilla movie.
Yeah, Godzilla Minus One was a big hit last year, made for like $15 million, but it looked like $150 million. It was good. It was cool. It was historical. Had nice characters. It caught on. It was a nice success story of like an old fashioned Toho Godzilla movie blowing up. So yeah, who wouldn't want a follow up? Of course, going to make a follow up this time for $20 million, and it looked like a $200 million movie. So yeah, that'll be fine. And finally, Daniel, I gave this last one to me because I think I can talk fast, but now that your internet's back on, it doesn't really matter, does it? Okay,
yes.
Daniel, here are the titles for the 8 episodes of the upcoming 5th and final season of Stranger Things. The Crawl, The Vanishing of, The Turnboat Trap, Sorcerer, Shock Jock, Escape from Camazults, The Bridge, and The Right Side Up. Thoughts?
I love these titles. That was very fast. Listeners, go find, there's a teaser of this online. I'm really intrigued by these. The one I'm probably the most intrigued by is The Vanishing Of, which is a nod to a season one episode, The Vanishing of Will Byers. I want to know who is vanishing. My thoughts are, is it Max or is it Will's mom. I forget her name. Joyce. Because Will, that might be a Will. Bookend way to bring it back to the Byers. But yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah, good stuff here all the time. If you want to see more good stuff, watch us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Winter Is Coming YouTube or a Facebook page. We're also available in podcast form wherever podcasts are downloadable, be it YouTube Music, iTunes, or elsewhere. Check out the website, winterscoming.net. Check out our personal Instagram pages, which I don't think we have. Check out everything. Subscribe, like us, leave a comment. You guys are on top of that. We like seeing you. We like hanging with you. We like talking about these kind of things. And we'll do it every Wednesday at 2 p.m. CST from here until the heat death of the universe. Thanks for watching. See you next time. And vaya con Dios.
Stay sane, all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 6-packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.